If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, din al-Islam, din al-Islam,
din al-Islam, din al-Islam, din al-Islam, din al-Islam, din al-Islam, din al-Islam, din al-Islam. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to be talking about the prayer rules according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
We are talking about the rules of prayer according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, we see it on and off in today's world that some of the cities, in fact, are getting reshaped by the city hall, the municipality. There are some civil rules that need to be, in fact, applied to different parts of the town or cities. So sometimes it happens that some of these mosques, in fact, the place where the mosque, in fact, they stand on happen to be like on the way, for example, of a road construction or something like that. Yeah. So in that case, if the building of a mosque is removed or destroyed by the municipality of that town or city, should we treat the land of the mosque as part of the mosque? Still, it is considered as mosque or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, if a mosque is demolished by, let's say, by municipality, of course, and a road crosses through that part of the land of the mosque,
yes,
that piece of land is no longer considered to be a mosque. It is not treated as mosque,
mm-hmm.
and therefore, it's permissible to make it impure.
Yes.
And if it is made impure, it's not necessary to purify it because it's no longer considered to be mosque. You know, but of course, when it comes to mosques which are dilapidated, which are no longer used, they
deserted,
are in bad
yes.
shape. You know, those buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Which are in ruins, but they used to be mosques in the past.
Yes.
Those places are still considered to be mosques, and of course it's not permissible as an obligatory precaution to make them impure or to let's say, to use them for any other purposes, you know. But when it comes to a demolished mosque, completely demolished,
mm-hmm.
and roads have passed through that place, that place of the mosque, or that place where the mosque used to stand, is no longer considered to be a mosque.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. What about the third testimony, Ashhad an la ilaha illallah? You know, that part of the azan that we always offer, in fact, or say, is it really the part of the azan or a necessary part of the azan or iqama?
Well, there is a consensus among all religious authorities that the third testimony, Ashhadu anna aliyan waliyullah, is not a part of either adhan or iqamah, okay? But both the religious authorities, Ayatollah Khamenei and Ayatollah Sistani, have clearly stated that one can recite this zikr with the absolute niyyah. Not with the niyyah, not as a part of the adhan or iqamah, just as an absolute mustahab zikr,
mm-hmm.
as an absolute mustahab zikr or recital, it is permissible for a person to recite these two, this zikr or the third testimony in adhan or iqamah. And I have seen some scholars deliberately avoiding to recite this zikr in their prayer sometimes, you know. But if a person, you know, considers this zikr or this, testimony as a part, then there is a problem, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because
does that make the prayer void?
No, it doesn't make the prayer void because adhan and iqama are not actually a part of the main
mm-hmm.
body of the prayer, you
yes.
know. These two adhan are said before one starts offering prayer. Aqama is also
But the iqama is attached to the prayer.
There can be a gap. For example, when you recite the adhan, you can walk here, you can offer two rakas of prayer. It is recommended actually.
Mm-hmm.
When you recite the adhan, it's recommended to walk two steps or backward or forward,
uh-huh. okay.
and then start offering reciting iqama.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't want to walk stop, then it's recommended to offer two rakas of prayer between adhan and iqama. This
see.
Is what Ayatollah Khamenei has expressly and candidly has clearly stated. And then the Iqama is there. Iqama, when you finish the Iqama, you can still walk around and then start your prayer.
I see.
And the prayer is started by making your niyyah and reciting Takbiratul Ihram.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because niyyah is the basic element of the prayer. And then Takbiratul Ihram is the next basic element of the prayer. And the prayer starts with the niyyah.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break. Stay with us. Don't go away.
لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the Library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker, talking about rules of prayer according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, I wanted to ask you about something that we can hear and see every day in especially Muslim dominated areas, where they broadcast adhan through the loudspeakers of the mosque. What is the Islamic law about this?
Grand Ayatollah Khamenei has said that if the adhan is broadcast in the usual conventional manner, just as we see usually, every mosque has loudspeakers, they broadcast the adhan through the loudspeakers. This is the conventional method of adhan. Adhan is meant to inform the people about the timing of the prayer. So there is no problem. Even if we know that there are some people who may not like or may not, who may be disturbed by the adhan. Adhan has to be said loudly, you know, loudly. But
there is always a volume. You can turn it up or down, right?
Yes.
And sometimes the louder speakers are too noisy.
Okay.
Too loud.
The adhan is intended to declare the timing, to inform the people to come to the mosque and start praying, offering their congregational prayers or not, or maybe individual prayers. Okay. The time is to be declared. So it has to be the louder the voice or the sound, the better it could be.
Yes.
And some, but, depending from place to place, okay?
Uh-huh. Okay, but that kind of law, I think, belongs to the past, because nowadays we have television, we have radio, we have internet, everybody knows, because there is cell phone and you know what the time of the prayer is, basically.
You know, this justification or argument is brought up by certain people. And they might justify themselves, you know, in order to, let's say, suppress the adhan, the sound of adhan, and to stop this tradition, an Islamic tradition, which is one of the signs of a city being Muslim or the people being Muslim. So many people might justify themselves bringing this excuse, okay, we have the clock, we have the mobile phone and everything, and the alarm clock is there, so why do we have to call the adhan? I think this justification is out of place, it's misplaced. And but when it comes to, let's say, to broadcasting the recitation of the Quran or in recitation of anything else like that, you see?
What about the recitation of the Quran or other supplications through the loudspeakers? Are they also permissible as the adhan?
Well, that's different, you know. Ayatollah Khamenei has said that, of course, when it comes to the Quran, if it is causing trouble or creating problem for the neighbors and people are disturbed by the sound of the recitation, then it's not permissible to use the loudspeaker to broadcast the recitation of the Quran. Especially, you know, we see that in some cities, before the adhan starts, you know, for 3 minutes at least, there is the Quran recitation, and then after the recitation, then there is the adhan, you know. Ayatollah Khamenei says that, okay, this recitation, there has to be, you know, the sound of the recitation of the Quran should not disturb the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
If it does, then it is not permissible.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Mr. Abid. Thank you for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
More.